My prayer shall be, gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Go to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, gladly will I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the veil of shadows, bear me over life's fitful sea. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. Then the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee.
One song is enough. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, indeed, we are thankful to be here in this place this day. As we open your word, Father, we need your understanding. We need your blessings. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we do read your word, that you would lead us and give us in the direction that you would have us to go, Father.
Yeah.
May it please you and glorify you. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive us of our many shortcomings. That's all we ask for, that we might glorify you and please you. We pray this in your name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I wish I wasn't here. Like we had said, told earlier when we first come here, that everything went wrong this week. Okay. All right. The text that I want to use is the one verse text in the book of Haggai, which might be hard to find. It's after Zephaniah. It's in the Old Testament. It's a short distance from the book of Matthew. Haggai chapter 1. And the main text is going to be verse 5, if you have it. The scripture here, just listen to it and you'll have enough. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Do you consider your ways? Do I consider my ways? I've heard a lot of talk going on today. We do consider our ways. Thank you for that word, way. Consider your ways. The majority of my message today will be just reading of God's word, because his word is so clear. It means exactly what it says. I've heard people say, well, I can read God's word and I don't understand it. I don't understand them. Bruce, I appreciate your message this morning. Okay? In verse 7, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. That's God's question and statement. Consider your ways. Verse 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. Now, Brother JT has already told us how to build a house. according to God's standards. God has placed it in His scripture in a number of places how to go about building the house. What was included in that house. And I will pleasure in it. And I will be glorified. You want to please the Lord? You want to glorify Him? Correctly build the house. Well, let's go over to the book of Romans. Now, if anybody has anything to add to this, that's fine. We are in the house of God. We belong to Him. He has a number of things to say about us and how to go about being obedient to His Word. How to go about doing the things that would please Him and glorify Him. Now, I have some particular verses marked here in chapter 3 of the book of Romans. But I think I'm going to go ahead and just read the whole chapter here, or a portion of it anyway. It says, what advantage then hath the Jew? And what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God? By the way, you notice the word, it says faith of God there. Now, Brother J.T., I've had trouble with that idea before. We are to have a particular faith also. But this faith here says, faith of God, yeah. Without effect. Verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a... Remember that word over there, consider. Consider your ways. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. How does man speak without being a liar? If he says anything, it's just for his own satisfaction, it's a lie. It has to be of God's satisfaction. It must be to glorify and honor Him. And it is written that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. And that's what we've already heard here today. So many people think that their thoughts of who God is, their thoughts is right. And God's way is wrong. Most men upon the face of this earth today think in their own fashion, and it's to satisfy their own self and to glorify nobody else but their own self.
Yeah, promote. Yeah.
Verse 5 again. But if our unrighteousness come in the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous? Who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. And that's what's taking place. Even in the pulpit of many churches today.
Well, one thing I understand about that is most people don't give God credit for judgment. They say the devil is right. Making it happen.
Right.
So there's a great difference between what they think is judgment and what is true judgment.
But as man speaks, though, he's speaking as the devil and Satan.
Yeah.
God forbid from. For then, how shall God judge the world? When it comes time for God to judge the world, and as we've already heard, we are in judgment every single day, every hour of the day, and we cannot forget that. Whatever takes place in our life, if it seems like there's a negative offense or situation toward us, it's God making judgment. Mm-hmm. But in the end time, when that day comes that the Lord is in judgment of all people, all his judgment will be pure and true. And there will not be no discussion, there won't be any argument about it. His arguments, God's argument, is not really an argument. But it's clear, and when he speaks it, it will come to pass. But he says, cast them into the lake of fire, whoever that might be. That's exactly what will take place, and that's a horrible, 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 I cannot say it enough, that's a terrible situation.
Well, to answer his question here, if our unrighteousness change God in any kind of way, then he couldn't be a judge.
Right. He wouldn't be God.
But our unrighteousness doesn't affect God at all.
Right.
So therefore he is the righteous judge and can judge.
That's right. His judgment will be absolutely right. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? But his judgments are righteous. And they're absolutely pure and absolutely true. So if any man on the face of this earth has a discrepancy in what they see in God's word, if it's according to man, it's a terrible lie. It's a terrible lie. Verse 8, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil. That's what mankind upon the face of this earth today desires to do. They won't commit evil. They won't do everything their own way. They don't want to do things God's way. They don't want to do the righteous acts of God. Let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. But man's damnation, but man's comments and judgments are not pure, not true. Only God's is true. Beginning with verse 9, we see a concluding fact that no one is righteous. And in the book of Romans here, by Paul, he's going to prove it to us, beginning with verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Is the righteous person better than the unrighteous? That's what he's, or vice versa, that's what he's saying. Are we better than they? No. In no wise. But we have before proved to both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. Every single person that has ever stepped foot upon the face of this earth is full of sin. Are they all under sin? Yes. Every man that's ever walked on the face is a sinner at one time or the other. Verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Are there any people upon the face of this earth that can claim that today? Can anybody claim that they're righteous, holy? There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God.
He understands he's not righteous. His conscience bears him witness that he's not.
That he's not.
Right.
But some get the idea they are righteous in their own sight, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is. Yeah.
I like to read that phrase right there. There is none that seeketh after God. Bruce, I believe it was last week or the week before, because of your message, we talked about Brother Rock Moder, and he had a message about seeking after. If you're not seeking after God, you don't belong to Him,
right,
and you're lost. You have no hope. Because you're basing everything upon how you feel about everything. There is none These are words that we can consider. So many people upon the face of this earth forget these words, Brother JT. There are none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. By the way, I'm reading this out of the Bible, out of God's Word. Their throat is an open grave, sepulchre. I mean grave. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. I try to be very careful about what I say and speak to anybody, and I fail drastically. I'm not saying I'm perfect, because I'm not. But I do declare that I believe firmly that I'm seeking after God. and I hope everyone here is seeking after God. Bruce, I like what you said about getting up early in the morning, and one of the first things you do, you open up God's Word and see if there's something in there for you to, for today, or for any time. I like that. The reason I like it is because I do the same thing. When I open it up and I begin to read it, well, Lord, speak to me today. Tell me who you are, Lord. I want to glorify you, Lord. Help me to walk carefully. Help me to be careful about where I go. Where am I at? Verse 14. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. That reminds me of Psalms chapter 10, where it speaks, and 11, where it speaks of those and other places in the scripture where it clearly talks about the wicked. And we're not going to go over there right now. But their feet are swift to shed blood. They desire to please their own self, these wicked ones. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Can you remember that? There's no fear. Consider this. Is there any fear of God before your eyes? I don't know how to answer that, Bruce. As long as I'm living righteously with Him, I have no fear. I have a particular boldness about it. But when I go astray, I begin to tremble and know that I was not right with the Lord. But I want you to look at what a verse says in Romans 6 and 23. I see if I can find it here, 6 and 23. Well, for the wages of sin is death. Remember, it said that we're all sinners. From the day that we're born, Linda, did we see our children sinning as soon as they were born? They began to cry out.
Wah!
Right, Betty?
Wah!
They were either hurting or wanting something to eat.
Or wanting attention.
Wanting attention. Yeah, I guess that's what it would be. Wanting attention. But they were lying. Because there was nothing wrong with them. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Is it raining or not raining?
It's raining.
Consider that. You see that little red rose out there? Flower out there, Bruce? Isn't that beautiful?
If I could see it, I probably wouldn't be.
It is. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful flower. Joel, there are beautiful plants out there. But it's God's work. And that's what we've talked about all day today. God has blessed us with the fact that we can look out there and see this beautiful red rose, or the yellow plant, or the green. Come on back up to verse 15. In chapter 6 there. What then shall we sin? Just to get things done our own way? To give the impression to somebody that we might be wiser than they are? And we're not wiser than they are. God is in absolute control, as we have already studied today. If we debate argumentatively against what God has stated or said to do by His commandments and His commands, we're the liar, we're the unwise person, we're the one that's, we're the great wicked person, we're the one that's going astray. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. And I certainly lack the grace of God upon me and upon you and upon every one of us here. We'd have nothing from God. If we weren't obedient to Him, if we didn't seek Him out. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's verse 16, by the way. I'm sorry, yeah, 16. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but we have obeyed from the heart and from that form of doctrine which was delivered you. I am thankful for some unknown reason that I don't know that the Lord God had love for me and for you. I don't understand why. It's to please and glorify Him. That's exactly what happens that way. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. I know I read it twice. I want you to hear it. Do we take these verses with us, Bruce? And, you know, you're talking about reading something in the morning, taking it with you through the day, and we should be taking part of God's Word with us everywhere we go. And this is a good place to be. We all have been sinners. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Because of His grace, because of His mercy, we have a life.
Yeah.
And if you're not there in that position, and you don't belong to the Lord today, you're living in unrighteousness, and you will die and spend an eternity in a devil's hell. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness, unto holiness. That's the only way we'll ever be holy, is belong to the Lord. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. Are your intentions to sin every day of your life, every breath that you take, every breath, every verb that comes out of your mouth? Are you intending to satisfy your own self instead of the things of God? What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, well, there's something for us to consider, a good point. But now, listen to it again. But now, being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. I'm thankful that we here, as far as I know, every single one of us here belong to the Lord. And it's, and this scripture right here calls it a fruit. It's a good thing. It's a good fruit. That's a good position to be in. Be holy with the Lord. For the wages of sin and death, and I'll read it again, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ your Lord. One of my favorite verses in the scripture is Acts 4 and 12. Well, I've even got the mark on the thank you card. Now, I did say, I did change one word in there for my own purpose. Because it is a personal remark. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby I must be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor,
is that
yours?
I must be saved.
Do you know his
come in.
Have a seat over here. You didn't have an umbrella?
It's my umbrella and my stand and go in trouble.
Can you hear me and understand me?
Yes, you've been waiting a little bit.
Okay.
That's why I didn't have an all.
Okay. We had just read the scripture. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven What is that name? The Lord Jesus Christ. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby. And of course, I changed that one word, we. I changed it to I. Because it's, to me, it's very precious. Verse. Must be saved. As long as I live upon the face of this earth, Bruce, I'm going to continue to seek out and search out salvation. Search out the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to this man, to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And it's an absolute miracle in any man's life when he comes to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Where he has a particular relationship with the Lord. And every day of his life is given to serving the Lord Jesus Christ and thinking upon him. And it is, Bruce, it is a very enjoyable, precious thing to me when I begin to read God's word. No matter where you open it up, if the Lord has directed you there, he has a message for you. Sometimes I go to open it up, Bruce. I know I'm talking to you. I tell you to Bruce behind you. But the thing about it is sometimes I go to open it up and I go, well, where am I going to open it up at? I don't know which way to go. So usually when I go to the scripture and I have that feeling about it, I'll open it up in the Psalms, because they're very precious to me. And then it might direct my mind somewhere else. Or I have a particular book that Bruce, you mentioned reading out of the book of Joshua. Well, I just finished the book of Acts, and it's so precious to me. I've read the book of Acts a number of great times. Over a period of years, because it describes, it says so much, Brother JT, about the church. Well, oh, I've got two messages if I run out of one. This one here has been in my file cabinet so long, Bruce, you know, about that file cabinet I've got over there. But it's been there so long I can hardly read it. Linda noticed it, and she couldn't read it either. But I want to read this one verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 3. For consider him that endureth such contradiction. Contradiction. Well, that's a big word. A big word to me. Contradiction. Who is that speaking of? That's speaking of Christ. Do we consider him daily? That's what we come to church for, to consider the life of Christ. Who is he? What has he done for me? What have I done for him? Now, I think, Bruce, you read this one this morning that someone did, Deuteronomy 32:29. Did you read that one? That's all right. I got it right here. Oh, that they were wise. Are we wise? Are we wise in searching out after Christ? Are we wise in going to church and singing songs of praise to him? That they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. What is my latter end? What is your latter end? My latter end, as far as I'm concerned, is with the Lord. Throughout eternity, I'll be with him. But there's some that cannot say that. Some did not endure that contradiction. Why does it say contradiction, Brother JT?
Well, they were always contradicting him, mainly that he wasn't the Son of God.
And that they felt like they were right with God.
Yeah.
Okay. But the contradiction is they didn't belong to God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. They argued about the very words that Christ brought with him from God the Father. They did not believe what the Lord Jesus Christ was portraying and proclaiming of that he had received from the Father.
Right.
In Deuteronomy 32:29 said a later end. I've already read that. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I hope that every one of us stop and think every single day, do we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ that we might live eternally with him? Or are we living like we desire to live and that we're going to argue against God's word and that we're not going to believe God's word and that we're going to go about living the life that we desire to live? Are we going to go about doing that? In our consideration for our latter end. But really and truthfully, you're forgetting about your latter end. Okay, I'll close with these two verses here. In the book, the first one's in Psalms 8:3. I consider thy heavens the work of thy fingers. The moon and the stars. I remember us talking about the moon and the stars earlier. They're beautiful. Aren't they, baby?
They are.
They really are. Those trees are growing out there. That flower I told you about outside of that red one. It's a beautiful flower. It's God's work. He caused it to grow up there. He molded it. He made it conform to something that would please him. Which thou hast ordained. The moon and the stars, which thou hast, every single thing that we see out there, the Lord God has ordained it. His manifestation was that it would grow to a certain height. And that sometime during his lifetime it would come to nothing. But it came about at the authority and the power of God. In Job 37:14. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. And that's what God's word commands us to do. And we should remember that verse. We should remember the command from God. Hearken unto this, O Job. We can put our name there. Hearken unto this, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. I'm trying to think of all the wonderful and beautiful things that we've seen. The last time I went down to the beach, Joel, it's been so long. But as I pulled onto the beach, from the Gulf of Mexico down there, the waves were coming in, and the water was so blue. In fact, I saw a picture of the Galveston Beach on the weather report, and the water was so blue and beautiful out there. It was the work of God. And the water pulled back at a certain time, and a certain time it comes back up on the beach, and it remains wet for a while. But God is in control of that. He's in control of every second of your life. If you belong to Him, you'll be obedient to Him. So that's what I leave with you today. Consider the wondrous works of God. Joel dismisses in a word.
Heavenly Father, we come this time, Lord, we do thank you for all the good things that you have given to us. Your watching care over us, your mercy to us, your faithfulness to us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we pray that we might be faithful to you and give honor and glory to you at all times. Heavenly Father, we pray that you forgive us of those times that we do fail to give you the necessary honor and glory. Dear Lord, we ask your remembrance upon us as we leave this place. To keep us, guide us, and hide us, and cleft to that rock that is Jesus Christ, Lord, that we might be made to conform like Him and be more like Him in our daily lives. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. One question, Joey. What is the definition of consider?
Think about, or
okay, that's pretty good. All right, I have here carefully thought out. That's the same thing. Same statement there. Okay, all right. Well, thank you for listening.